Luke chapter 2 and verses 34 to 35. Now these are the words of an old man. These days, when we think of an old man, you might think of the television program Grumpy Old Men. I've never seen it, but it's quite a catchy thing, isn't it? You know, and Grumpy Old Men, and I suppose we have this idea that when men get old, and women perhaps, because there's another program, isn't there, Grumpy Old Women, that, well, they just complain about everything, and, well, they're just like that. Well, our text are the words of someone who was not a grumpy old man, and it should never be that a Christian, as they get older, become grumpy. And if that's your temptation, as you get older, resist it. It's not right for a Christian to be like that. And here we have an old man, Simeon, who we read was told by the Lord that he would not die until he had seen the Saviour, seen the one who was promised. And we read how Mary and Joseph, in accordance with the law of Moses, brought the baby Jesus, about 6 weeks old then, to the temple in Jerusalem. And how they went through the correct procedure, bringing an offering to God for their firstborn son. And how Simeon, this old man, was moved by the Spirit to go into the temple at that time. And there he took the baby in his arms and said these wonderful words, starting at verse 29 of the text. We haven't got time to look at all of what he said. And I particularly want to think of the words he said in verse 34, where he's speaking to Mary. Simeon says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also." And we're going to look at those words in a little while. But there's just a couple of things that are very important for us to notice about this whole story before we move into those words. First of all, you notice here the extreme poverty of Mary and Joseph. It says in verse 24 that they were to offer a sacrifice, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Well, really, the proper sacrifice was a lamb, actually. But the word of God says if a family was too poor, then they were to offer two pigeons. And that's what Mary and Joseph did, because that's all they could afford. And it's a reminder to us that Jesus Christ did not come for a certain type of person. Not the rich, not the middle class, but for everybody. Jesus Christ came to the lowest so that nobody is excluded. Because I know some people, they come to church and think it's not for them. I think, well, it's all right for those people that have got a nice home and a good job, but it's not for me, they say. And some people say, well, it's all right for those people that are of a religious frame of mind. They're interested in that, but not really me. You know, I've come here perhaps because someone's invited me, or because the children come, or because... I feel I ought to come. And there's nothing wrong in any of those reasons for coming. Please come. But don't think that anybody is excluded. Nobody is excluded from coming into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no exceptions. Everybody is invited. But there's another thing here. We notice that Joseph and Mary received great blessing here, didn't they? We see that Joseph and Mary were greatly astonished at what Simeon said to them. And what Anna said to them. They've received great blessing. And you notice they received the blessing when they were obedient to the word of God and they were in God's house. And that's very important. If you want God to bless you. You do, don't you? I think we'd be foolish if we didn't want God to bless us. If you want God to be with you, if you want God to help you, if you want God to be in your life, then there's two things that you must do. You must obey what you know about the Word of God. And you must be found in the place where God meets his people. And that is where God's people meet together in services like this. Now, I don't want to limit God and say that God cannot work anywhere, because God can. However, God usually chooses and works in the place where God's people meet together. He promises especially to be present where God's people are. And if you want God in your life, and if you want to know more about God, if you want God to bless you, then you need to do those two things. You need to start to obey what you know already. You may not know much about God. You may not know much about the Christian life. But what you know, then you do. Because as you obey, God brings you further blessing and further knowledge. And secondly, keep coming to the place where God is worshipped, where the Word of God is preached. If you usually come here, then keep on coming here. If you're here just for today because you usually live somewhere else and you go to church somewhere else, then keep going there. Because if you don't, you won't get blessed. Keep coming and God will bless you. That was just by way of introduction, really. But I think they're important things for us to learn. What I want to concentrate on now is the words of verses 34 and 35. And there's three things that Simeon tells us here about the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things that we all need to know. First of all, he prophesies that Jesus Christ will be a divider. It says that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Secondly, Christ is promised to be someone who gives a new start. It says this child is set to cause the fall and rise of many. So Christ who gives a new start. And thirdly, we're told here that Christ is going to be a suffering one. A sword will pierce your own soul, says Simeon to Mary. So those are the three things we're going to think about now this evening. First of all, Christ has come and is a divider of people. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. See, Jesus Christ divides people into those that love him and follow him and those that don't. Here and now in this life, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, he divided people. And he still does so today. Think of the reaction to the Lord Jesus when he was here on earth. There were people who were for him or there were people against him. Think of the Pharisees of the Lord's time. They were religious people. They knew the Old Testament. You'd have thought that they'd have recognized that here was someone who'd come from God. But of course, they didn't. When Jesus Christ confronted them with the truth, it was obvious that they were not for God, but they were against him. Their thoughts, their attitudes were revealed for what they were. They pretended to follow God, but really they didn't. And then there were some people who we call temporary disciples. They started to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching. But we find, and this is in John chapter 6, that when the teaching became a bit too exclusive, they no longer followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They turned back. Jesus Christ divided people when he was here on earth. And Jesus Christ still divides people. There's something about the Lord Jesus and his teaching and his truth and his character which reveals what we're really like. There are many people today who say they believe in God. According to the last census, over 70%, maybe as many as 80% of the people of this country claimed to be Christian. But do they really follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, no, they don't. What do you think of Jesus Christ tonight? That's the question that I will put to you. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is God come to earth? Now, many people cannot accept that. I ask you tonight, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God come to earth? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died in place of sinners? There are many people that do not accept that, even in some churches today. They don't believe in that sort of, they call it, and I've heard it called, butcher's shop religion. But you see, that's just trying to put it away, giving it a name. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for sinners? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only Saviour? And this is something that is a great stumbling block to many today. They say, well, people can have their own religion. Surely it's up to them, isn't it? Surely there's not just one way. Isn't that great arrogance by you Christians saying there is only one way? But Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you believe that wholeheartedly? And do you believe that in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to take up your cross and follow him, that there is a cost? These things divide people, and they may divide people here tonight. See, I know that all of you here have some acknowledgement of God. Of course you do. Some of you have been brought up in Christian homes. You've been taught the word of God. You're all religious. You're all Christian in a certain sense of the word. But what do you think of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is God? That he died as a sacrifice in the place of sinners, a substitute? Do you believe that his salvation is the only salvation? And do you believe you must follow him in self-denial? These are the things that are important. This is the way of salvation. Who do you say he is? That's what Jesus asked his disciples at one time, wasn't it? Who do you say I am? Ask yourself this. Who do I say that Jesus Christ is? And how does that affect my life? The thoughts of our hearts are revealed by what we think of Jesus Christ. Second thing we're told about the Lord Jesus Christ here. First of all, that he is a divider. But secondly, we're told here that Christ is the giver of new life. It says in verse 34, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many. Interesting phrase that, isn't it? Because we're used to talking about the rise and fall of something. You know, there's a very famous book, and if you've read it, then congratulations to you, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. Great thick books. And we think about the rise and the fall of the communist state under Stalin and so on after him. We think of the rise and fall of the ancient civilizations. But here, look at the words carefully. It says, this child is destined to cause the fall and the rise of many. And what that means is that Jesus Christ has come to bring us low before he brings us up. It's happened here on earth when he was here. Let me remind you of Peter. On one occasion, they hadn't caught fish, any fish all night. And Jesus said, look, go out fishing. So they went out fishing and Jesus said, cast your net on the side of the boat. And they did. And there was this enormous catch of fish. And Peter, we read, fell at Jesus' feet. He said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Think of Zacchaeus. You children here, you've been taught the story of Zacchaeus, who was so small he had to climb a tree to see the Lord Jesus. And what did Jesus say to Zacchaeus? He said, come down. Now, of course, one sense, he had to come down from the tree. But there's another sense. He's in Zacchaeus, come down, bow before me, because you've sinned and you need to repent. Think of Thomas, doubting Thomas, who did not believe the disciples who said they'd seen the Lord. And when Jesus appeared to him a week later, what did Thomas do? He fell down and worshipped my Lord and my God. Think of Mary Magdalene, who, when she was humbled because of her sins, wept and washed Jesus' feet with her tears. Think of the Apostle John in the book of Revelation when he saw the glorified Lord Jesus. He fell down at Jesus' feet. Jesus is destined to cause the fall and the rise of many. And the way to be raised to new life is first to be brought low, to realize our sins, that we are not worthy to stand before God, that not only our sins make us that, but in ourselves we're not worthy, that in our hearts we are rebels against God. We do not want God to reign over us. That's what we are like. And we have to realize that and repent of it and be brought low before God in the Lord Jesus Christ will raise us up. And I want to ask you tonight, have you fallen down in your heart, not necessarily physically, but in your heart before the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to him realizing your sins make you totally unfit to be with him, to be near him? Have you realized that you deserve to be rejected forever because of the way you have gone against him? Because unless we are brought low, we cannot be raised. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have done something terrifically bad to feel like this, because probably most of you haven't done something terrifically bad. But if you have, then if you confess it and humble yourself before God, he will forgive you. But many of you here have been brought up decently by your parents. You've not gone around stealing mobile phones. You've not gone around abusing people. But you know in your heart you've had bad thoughts. You've wanted to get your own back on people. You've had evil in your heart. Don't you? Haven't you had those thoughts? And we need to own up and bow down before the Lord, fall before him, and then he promises to raise us up. It's interesting, Simeon says that Jesus Christ will be a sign that will be spoken against. To be a Christian is not an easy thing. It is to put yourself in the position where you will be spoken against. But does that matter in the end? But I have to say this, that those that live according to the scriptures, those that want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will be opposed and you will be spoken against. You may be mocked, you may be ridiculed, you may be abused. You will be called names. But don't worry. That happened to the Lord Jesus. It happened to his disciples. It's happened to all those down the ages. So don't worry if that is happening to you now. That's to be expected. Because if we follow Jesus Christ, then think people will be against us. The devil will be against us. However, to be a follower of Jesus Christ is the only safe place in this world. Jesus Christ is the one that raises up those that fall down. If you think, well, I don't quite understand this. I know I'm not quite what I ought to be, but am I that bad? If you're thinking that, then can I suggest you pray and ask God to show you your sins? Because by nature, we are proud people. We are self-congratulatory. We don't condemn ourselves by nature. Ask God to show you your sins so that you'll be brought down, so that Christ can then raise you up to new life. Jesus Christ is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel. How's he going to do this? How can he raise us up? Well, it's because he is a sufferer. Christ will be a sufferer. Simeon speaks to Mary. A sword will pierce your soul also. For Jesus Christ to raise us up is going to cost him a great deal. It's going to give Mary a great hardship, but more for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's purpose in raising us up to new life comes about through his own suffering and pain and agony. That was one of the reasons why we sang the song that we did before the sermon. How great the pain of searing loss. The agony is put in that hymn. Jesus Christ can only raise us up because he has taken the punishment for our sins. What we deserved was taken by him. He died the painful and shameful death that we deserved. When he was separated from his Father, when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? That separation is what we deserved. When Jesus Christ died in the darkness, that was the darkness that you and I deserved because of our sins. We can only be forgiven and raised to newness of life because Jesus Christ was brought low and then he was raised to life. And we must follow that pattern. We must be brought low if we are going to be raised to life. Simeon here was speaking to Mary. A sword will pierce your own soul. When anybody close to you dies, it's very painful. When a parent dies, that's painful. Can you imagine what it's like for a child to die? You parents here, think of your children. Supposing one of your children, died before you and you had to bury them. A terrible thought, isn't it? Think of the pain that must have cost Mary when her son died on the cross. But with reverence, can we imagine what pain it cost God the Father also to see his son die in that way? Salvation for people like us was bought at such a great cost. We can only begin to imagine what it cost God the Father, what it cost God the Son to bring us back to God. How can we trifle with this? How can we say, Or I'll put it off for another day. How can we say, oh well, it's not for me? Think of the suffering of Jesus Christ, of God the Father. Mary's suffering is mentioned here too. All that for people like us. How can we say, I'm going to do it my own way. I think I'm good enough. I don't need Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Does that make sense? Jesus Christ is able to raise us because he suffered on the cross the pain and the shame and the judgment that should have been ours. What are you going to do about that tonight? You're here. You've heard of Jesus Christ suffering for you, bearing the punishment that people like us deserved. Are you going to ignore it? Are you just going to try and avoid it? You know, when the service is finished, well, you'll just talk to somebody else and forget about it. Can we really do that when the suffering of Jesus Christ is put before us? This evening then, to conclude, we need to ask ourselves some questions. And the main question is, what is your attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Some of you say, well, yes, I don't love him as I should, but I do love him. I don't believe in him as I should, but I do trust him. I do want to live for him. Then continue to do that. Continue to ask him, ask God to give you his Spirit, to help you continue in the life that he's begun. Perhaps there's some of you here today, tonight, that have got questions about the Lord Jesus Christ, about Christianity. Where do you find the answers? You find them in the Word of God and by coming here where the Word of God is preached. Simeon and Joseph and Mary and Anna, their blessings came because they were in the place of worship. You come and keep coming. And as God speaks to you, do what God tells you. And gradually he will make himself known to you more and more. God loves obedience and blesses it. As I mentioned, perhaps there's some of you here who think, well, I don't see that things are that bad. I don't see that I've done so much wrong. As I mentioned earlier, ask God, pray that he would show you your sins so that you will fall before the Lord, so he will raise you up. I speak to the children here. You're here. Perhaps you've been, you know Bible stories. You know what the truth is. I ask you, is it real to you? Because there's no age limit to beginning to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait till you're 11 or go to secondary school. You don't have to wait till you've done your GCSEs. You can become a follower of Jesus Christ as soon as you know that you've done wrong. You can own up to God and follow him. And to you children, I would say to you, do not put it off. Do not delay. When I was a boy, I was brought up in a church, just like you've been brought up in a church. But I delayed, and I wish I hadn't. Don't delay. Start to follow the Lord Jesus Christ while you're young. Tell him, confess your sins to him. Seek his strength. Don't put it off. But then there's older ones here. And can I say to you, do not think that you're past it, because nobody is past it. This man Simeon was old, and he was able to say, now, Lord, you can dismiss your servant in peace. Simeon was able to say, I am ready to go, because I've seen the Lord. And you may be older, but if you have trusted in the Lord, then you are in the same position as Simeon. You are ready for when the Lord takes you. That's the children. That's the older ones. Dare I include myself in the middle? I don't know. But those of us that are in the midst of life, you're busy with your work. You're busy raising your family. You're busy serving the Lord in the church. Make sure that we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the line between life and death is so short. Who knows which of us is going to be sitting here in 2008. You've perhaps known people that passed away in 2006. They're no longer with us. Who knows? We don't know. And we don't need to, I don't mean to depress you about this, but what I'm saying is be ready. Be ready to meet the Lord. Make sure you've repented. Make sure you have fallen before the Lord now so that he will raise you up. Because there is a warning here implied. If we do not fall down before the Lord in this life, we will fall down before him in the next. But the Bible says there's no raising then, because it will be too late. Time will have gone. Time will have run out. Jesus Christ is destined to cause the rising, the falling and rising of many. Have you been raised with Christ? Don't give up praying and asking God to work in you so that you will know that new life in him. Let's be like Simeon, who was ready to depart, however old we are. Now he said, "Let your servant depart in peace." He was ready. Let's make sure that we are ready for when the Lord calls us to meet him.